We're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 9, which is answers by citing the Lord's version. This is the last of the nutshell verses. Text 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Etabat eva jignasyam.
Etabat eva jignasyam.
Atma Jignasunatmanaha Ambaya Yatirikabhyam Yatsyat Sarvacha Sarvada. Please chant. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. And I think we're supposed to start with the revealed scriptures. But I'm not sure how far we're supposed to go. The revealed scriptures give directions directly to this end. But because the bewildered living entities are blinded by the glaring reflection in the darkness, they are unable to find the truth of the revealed scriptures. For example, in the Bhagavad Gita, the whole direction is targeted toward the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. But for want of a bona fide spiritual master in the line of Brahmaji or the direct hearer Arjuna, there are different distortions of the revealed knowledge by many unauthorized persons who just want to satisfy their own whims. Undoubtedly, the Bhagavad Gita is accepted as one of the most brilliant stars in the horizon of the spiritual sky. Yet the interpretation of this great book of knowledge has so grossly been distorted that every student of the Bhagavad Gita is still in the same darkness of glaring material reflections. Such students are hardly enlightened by the Bhagavad Gita. In the Gita, practically the same instruction is imparted as in the four prime verses of the Bhagavatam. But due to wrong and fashionable interpretations by unauthorized persons, one cannot reach the ultimate conclusion. In the Bhagavad Gita 1861, it is clearly said that Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridesha Yuntishtati Brahma Sarvabhutani Yantra Yugamayaya. The Lord is situated in the hearts of all living beings as Paramatma, and he is controlling all of them in the material world under the agency of his external energy. Therefore, it is clearly mentioned that the Lord is the supreme controller and that the living entities are controlled by the Lord. In the same Bhagavad Gita 1865, the Lord directs as follows: Mamana Bhagavato Madhyas Mam Maskaru Mame Vashisatamke Patijana Piyosine. It is clear from this verse of the Bhagavad Gita that the direction of the Lord is that one should be God-minded, a devotee of the Lord, a worshipper of the Lord, and must offer all obeisances unto Lord Krishna. By doing so, the devotee will undoubtedly go back to Godhead, back to home. So yesterday we heard the importance of Krishna's flute, which was very delightful to hear, and a little bit about the importance of receiving this knowledge from the spiritual master. And here we're discussing a little bit about the importance of hearing it properly and from the right source. I can remember, maybe some of you had the same experience, that when I was in my teenage years, I had a very nice facility to sample all kinds of entertainment from the material world. And that was pretty much the ultimate goal of teenage life, is to figure out how much you can be entertained and so-called happy from doing that. But at some point, I got to where I was squeezed out the sponge such that I couldn't find any more enjoyment. And so I took the last resort, and I turned to the Bible. And I actually I had to search through my house, and I found this old copy of my grandfather's. It was really beautiful. It was how the gold papers, and each paper was really thin and embossed the name on it and everything. And I kind of snuck in my room and I tried to read it, because it was definitely not cool to be religious, at least not in my group of friends, and definitely don't want to have a crutch, like having religion as a crutch. So I kind of snuck around. I tried to read it here and there. I tried to get some, you know, little hint of some mystical thing from it, or, you know, what people got out of it. And I read here and there, but it was a whole bunch of stories and millions of names, and I just said, no, this is, it's not for me. I didn't have anyone to help me. I didn't have a director. I didn't have an authorized version, probably. Who knows, but it just didn't click. I found some small little church that was against what my mom wanted me to go to. And it was a little awesome, because it had some ritual to it and everything. But still, Maya was there saying, okay, come back, come back. We miss you. So that was that for quite a few years. But you can see that I didn't get that enlightenment that is really essential for moving you on the spiritual path. And here Prabhupada is discussing that even people pick up the Bhagavad Gita, the famous Bhagavad Gita, off the shelves, so many versions, and they don't, that light just does not turn on. But all of us are examples of picking up Bhagavad Gita as it is, and immediately, wow, yes, this is it. Because of the representative of the Lord giving us the real way to understand it, especially to have that mood of appreciation that God is the director, that God is speaking, and that his instructions are pertinent to my advancement. Usually other people will pick up a Gita and challenge it, or else they'll just kind of figure out their own desires, and then instead of Bhagavad Gita as it is, it's Bhagavad Gita how I would like it, and how it fits my schedule, how it fits my types of activities that I'm pursuing. So it's unfortunate that they miss out on understanding, as Prabhupada said, this jewel of the knowledge that the Bhagavad Gita is. And so the devotee accepts it as it is, because we understand that it's being represented by the follower and pure devotee, someone who has realized the truth, who has actually followed the pages, followed the process, and actually come to that conclusion that, yes, God is the controller. And then what he's saying here is the most important thing that I could could take and swallow and digest and actually practically use. That was one thing that I couldn't see any direction, not only the direction, but I couldn't see where how I could use it in my life, the Bible, or other scriptures, or other instructions from other spiritual masters even. How could I apply it to my life, and how could I realize it? So the devotee understands that I need to follow it all the way through. I need to accept it, and I need to stick with it. And then we see that we're nourished by dribbles of realization as we go along. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, that's for sure. And so the really only process for advancement is to follow the process and do these things, man, mana, bhavata, bhakto, to engage my mind, to engage my senses, to serve Krishna, to do all these things that Krishna is telling us to do. So this is our course of progress. This is our necessity of training by the spiritual master to know how to follow the process properly and to gain some real realizations. Of course, training, if you've gone through any kind of training or learning, education, things like that, then you every once in a while you need an exam. Although you can't stand exams, Gaur Chandra was just here a few minutes ago and I ran into him the other day and he goes, oh, I got two exams on so-and-so, you know, my granddaughter's got exams coming out of her ears. No one likes them, but they're there to test your realization, to test your real understanding, especially in math. When they used to give you those word problems, you know, the structure of, you know, how to do it all in order was fine, but then with the word problem, you had to, like, really apply it to something, and it was like, oh, it's so much harder. But we need that. So the spiritual master and Krishna, they give you exams right along with the training to help us to realize, do I really understand that I'm not this body? Krishna will all of a sudden give you some disease or something like that to realize, well, how far along are you? You know, do you really realize that it's not you that's aching all over? So this is a part of the process. And the devotee welcomes it, accepts the exams, and does their best to try to get trained properly. Might even test you to see that if you still have a taste, how your taste for Krishna is increasing. Krishna might, Maya might dangle something, oh, yeah, go for it, putting up some bait. You know, this is very tasty and nice, but how much can you reject it and say, no, I'd rather have Krishna. In the purport, it's described here that some people might come to the Bhagavad Gita to spiritual understanding, spiritual realization, knowledge, with a whimsical attitude. W-H-I-M. There's also W-I-F-M. What's in it for me? Which is about the same thing. Something very whimsical is like thinking that, you know, they're looking, it looks nice. What can I get out for myself? You know, what? Maybe I can become a spiritual master. Maybe I can become a nice, reputed, renowned spiritual speaker or whatever, best mridanga player or whatever. Instead of thinking that, how can I become the servant of the servant? So whimsical, we don't want to approach spiritual life very whimsically. You can remember that story of Sanatan Goswami with the touchstone. And the person is hearing that, oh, he's got some really, really nice touchstone. You touch it and zap, you get gold. And so he goes there and approaches him. And with dollar signs in his eyes. You know how in the comics they put dollar signs in the eyes? And but Sanatana Goswami was so kind that he could see beyond those dollar signs and see that there was some sincerity, some enthusiasm to get something, wealth, some real wealth. And so then he offered him that real touchstone of the holy name. So he was whimsical, but Krishna was very kind and turned that into a wonderful thing. He gave him that test. He tested him. Throw away your stuff. Throw away that idea of enjoying. And he was able to get a wonderful thing, which is the holy name, an opportunity in this lifetime to reach perfection. So the real perfection is when you can accept the instructions of the spiritual master. And it might be painful. Magari, the hunter, he had to, give up his, break his bow, and what's going to happen. And we have to realize that, now my lifetime, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. Difficult, painful, a little pinch in the side. But that's a price for something that is not just whimsical. And just recently I had to consider a very costly investment. And I didn't just go out and buy the first thing I saw, And no, I did my homework and I said, is it ecologically nice? Is it, am I going to be able to maintain it? Is it what I really need? The longevity of it? Is it really worth it? And therefore, it wasn't whimsical. But other people might go, well, I'll just buy the first thing they see. Get the cheapo, the cheapo one. And then down the line, wasted. It falls apart. So this is very important also, that you don't just buy something, just sit it there, and then don't use it. So for spiritual life, the devotee who's looking for something so important, so eternally important for our soul, it's a big investment. It's not something that you whimsically, just take the first spiritual master you see. No, you look very deep and you do your homework and see what is the value. Is it worth this lifetime, my whole lifetime, to accept these instructions and to carry it out? What's going to be the result? Will I be disappointed later that I made this decision to take the spiritual life, to give up all my so-called substantial material life? So this is not the way you can make advancement, by doing something whimsical like that. So this is important to understand also, that that this devotional service is needed and it's very useful. So if we do get it, we get initiation, if we don't use it, if we don't keep up progressing, keep on the process, if we make, a bunch of advancement and then go back and then forward and then back and forward, it's also, such a disappointment. If you go to someone's home and you see that the books never come off the shelf, they're all dusty, and their deity went from being worshipped once a week to once a month in a box to in the closet, or if they don't offer their food anymore, or they don't choose to have devotee association. These are cherished items that we have, this manmana, all these different devotional activities. They're so important for our purification. So we should value what we have immensely, what Srila Prabhupada has spent tons of blood on in giving us this devotional service. Otherwise, Maya will, she has lots of plans, and we can just be a sitting duck if we're not taking advantage of this devotional service and being very neglectful. And this verse also is describing, it's stressing the importance of actually becoming very disengaged from our thinking that we're the director and that we're the controller, and letting Krishna do his job, which is the director, as it's described here, that he is the most authorized person, he and the spiritual master, for giving us these instructions to go forward in spiritual life, to help us. That's his job. That's what he came here for. He says he's trying to catch us up and take us back home. He's trying his hardest. So why don't we just let him do that and just give up our own ideas of how we can direct our lives, which is not an easy thing to do. I know sometimes I've been given a position, maybe you all have too, that okay, you're going to be in charge of this program to get this job done, and you're going to be the director, and then here's some people that are going to help you, and then you get together, and then this person starts giving their ideas. Well, I think it should be done this way and that, but I think it should be done that way. And then you just like, you throw in the towel and say, okay, you all do it. You don't get anywhere, right? I was asked to be the director, so let me direct things, let me manage things. So Krishna, I can imagine he gets a little frustrated sometimes when let me take over the situation here. I'm ready to take over. I'll manage your life. And then we go, oh, but I have some other plans, and I think it's best of this and best of that. Or you get a spiritual master and you say, oh, please, you know, give me your blessings, give me your instructions. And then they give you instructions. You say, well, actually, that's not what I really want to do. What's the sense? You know? So Krishna is encouraging us to become detached from our plans for sense gratification, especially. And then then we'll be much more peaceful. Much more peaceful. It's described that there are different kleshas or miseries in this material world. And one of them is your own body and your mind. And that is the source of so many miseries. Because it's always thinking how much I can be in control. It's always thinking how much I can be the director. So this bhakti yoga is meant to work on the mind. And therefore, every day, what do? We chant the Maha Mantra. It's releasing our mind from what we're always meant to understand, that we are the controller. That's why we're here. So, oh Lord, oh energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. How many times we say it every day, every morning, from early in the morning till late at night, we're encouraged to chant this mantra so that we don't forget our real position as simply the directed, the controlled, blissful servant of Krishna. So we have to learn this detachment. And it is made a very nice process, singing and dancing, singing this mantra, and in reminding ourselves that we'd be much better off if we just do what Krishna has arranged for us. Many times you'll try to do a project and you'll try once and it won't happen. You try twice, still it's not happening right. You do everything possible because you want it for Krishna, you want it to happen. And just like I'm trying to get permission to do a Lord Nrisingadev temple over here, a natural building over here. And, so difficult, especially in Alachua County. So many problems with codes and this and that and architects. And why? Why, Krishna? I want this to happen. You know, I'd love to install the next Nrisingadev. I just can't get it off the ground. And then finally I go, it must be your arrangement. You know, it must be Krishna's arrangement. And so a big load off my mind. And then I realized wind came the other day and knocked a humongous branch right where I would have been making the building. Krishna had a plan, you know. It took someone all day yesterday to get rid of that. The branch is as big as a tree, you know. So Krishna, if we just realize that he's in control and surrender to that, so many times you've seen, that's why Krishna did that. That's why Krishna did it. I remember one time I was pulling out of a airport parking lot. Nanda and I had been somewhere, and I was just so glad to get home. And I just like stepped on the gas, and it was a 40-mile-an-hour zone. I went 50 or something. Sure enough, I get pulled over, and I go, oh God, it's such a problem, and I couldn't talk him out of it. And so, and then Nanda goes, when we pulled away, and she goes, you aren't going to want to hear this, but it's for some reason down the road. I go, yeah, I couldn't take it. I don't know what the reason was, but I guess there was some reason behind it. But it's hard to swallow sometimes that we're not the controller, that we're not the director. But we have to realize that if we cooperate with Krishna, then this is sublime method. It's the way we can get rid of all of our anxieties, just like we preach to people. Are you an anxiety? Yes, I'm an anxiety. Well, try this. We should try it. You know, we should realize it, that yes, I can be in the spiritual world if I just follow these instructions, if I take this seriously, not whimsically, and do what it says. Use it the rest of my life, and see ultimately that there will be some realizations along the line. Because it said that not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. Sometimes that's hard to understand, that Krishna is sanctioning all of our desires, but he has an interesting straining program, that he'll allow most of the desires, the big ones, that aren't too much maya, well, he'll let them go through a little bit. But then for the one who's really sincere, we'll want a little bit tighter mesh, so the stuff doesn't go through. So Krishna's so kind for the devotee, he says, okay, and he won't let those desires go through. He'll be very choosy. He said, nuh-uh, that's too far out there. Forget it. It's not going to happen. And he won't sanction it for our benefit. Whereas because we're sincere, we want to make advancement. But for those who don't really care, he'll go, okay, whatever you want. And he'll just leave the chicken wire has his big inch holes, and let all those crazy desires go through it. Sure, and they'll go through and you'll get to, entertain the next lifetime and the next lifetime and the next lifetime. So we should choose to get that really fine strainer hooked up with Krishna so that we can kind of finish up our business and throw away all that gunk, all those crazy desires that keep us from really having those realizations that we do hanker for, that the soul has been hankering for thousands and millions of births. And so many people, they don't care. But Krishna has, Lord Chaitanya specifically, provides a really special feature in this age, that even if you don't care, you get a lot of mercy. Just like at Rath Yatra the other day, such a wonderful time we had. It was really wonderful. There was a lot of people on the beach, and I saw two gentlemen, they were with some two ladies, and I kind of pushed them towards the center. You go underneath the rope, and they're all really, really fired up in the center, and some of them, dare to go in there and really get into it. So this man said, why not? And he goes inside, and his friend, I said, go with him, and they go inside. He got into it so much. I give him my little shaker, and he's shaking, and he's just like, he's really into it, and I kind of hang around because I don't want to lose my expensive tambourine. And I watched him, and within 5-10 minutes, he's throwing up his hat in the air, and in the next few minutes, his sunglasses go in the air, and he's got his friend dancing, and he was really respectful dancing, but he was just, you could see the mercy, that it was just given free by Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya, that this process of chanting is such a touchstone, that even if you don't care, you get the juice, you get some wealth from it. And they stayed in there for 20 minutes or something like that. And it also is very purifying for us to see the potency of what we have, this process. Such a simple process, just go and sing and dance. As Lord Chaitanya says, it's the prime benediction for humanity at large. No one is left out. No one. It's just a matter of just being there. People just had to be there on the beach and they got the mercy, that's all. And then some, of course, chose to take part more and more. But so we have a choice also every day to take part more and more, to dust off the books, to read them more, and to come here and worship the deities more, engage in more service. There's so much service to do to spread this movement. attend these Rath Yatras. It's very important that we're there so that all these people are enlivened and swept into the to this mercy. So that's a few things from this purport. Luckily, I didn't have the really intense philosophical part. So anyone has any contributions or some realizations or some advice of how to keep on the on this path? Of course, the spiritual master is important, but also the having shiksha gurus and close God brothers and God sisters to encourage you along the way will also help, and mentors also are very helpful.
Mother Guti, you in your time in devotional service have undertaken many projects, big and small. Just reflecting back over all the time you've done that, if somebody offered you that touchstone, would you take it?
If someone offered me the touchstone, I've got the touchstone. I got devotional service. I got so much service, I don't know what to do with it all. So I don't understand the question. You understand?
Basically, saying that you know you've done so much services, so many projects over the years, and so if somebody actually gave you, I'm assuming it's not talking about
devotional service. I would take and go give it to Prabhupada and let him do some other things. I'd make some gold. And I'd use it for Krishna.
Good. So
it's good to keep the humble position, but sometimes, like say, there was a time when Prabhupada was feeling there was some, you know, maybe deviation from his mood or idea, so he had to kind of maybe get a little bit forceful to straighten things out. So how much do we apply ourselves to see it as Krishna's mercy, Prabhu, that this is the way it's going to be and it's coming this way? Or how much should we actually say, well, you know, I feel in a different way? Or should one just stay humble and see it as all Krishna's mercy? How does that work?
That's a sensitive question. That's difficult. You can always ask your God brothers and God sisters, you know, if you don't know the answer. But how much is it going to please Srila Prabhupada that you step forward and maybe override? That's touchy. It really depends on the situation. But it's something that you have to be very sensitive on, that you don't want to be offensive in any way. But at the same time, you want to do the best. But sometimes you have to withhold. I know of an incident where someone had to. It's a little hard to explain. Anyway, yeah, sometimes you might have to just accept that humble situation because you don't want to step on someone's feet. And other times, you think it's really necessary, that especially if it's regarding something that you know Prabhupada didn't want or something, then you, especially as a senior Vaishnav, you might have to, like Prabhupada, to go in there and say, this is not the way it should be. You just have to look at the consequences and, hard judgments. Pray to Krishna.
Thank you for the nice class. So we all have, we're in this world with, we have a cheating mentality. And I've actually seen that come up myself yesterday. How can you share your realizations on how to get over the cheating mentality we all have?
This is a question?
Yes.
How to get over the cheating mentality. Just realize that you're always representing Srila Prabhupada. In whatever you say and do, he wouldn't appreciate any kind of a cheating. And, I mean, cheating can mean a lot of different things. Misinterpretation is one way. And, of course, not being truthful is another way. But just think of Srila Prabhupada, of how he would see it. He's our guiding principle. And if you don't think you would say that to Prabhupada, then don't say it. Or not do it. Don't do it if Prabhupada wouldn't want to see it. Okay. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.